For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning as we look at the Word working through the church. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your Word that you have placed in our hands and in the church. And Lord, we ask that this morning your Word go forward in power and anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're looking at the Word working through the church, and we're going to see that the Lord has placed his Word in our hands, and that Word is a Word that comes from him, and that Word must be given out for others to hear, for the world to know that he is alive and that he is the one that they should be following. We need to see that biblical preaching is absolutely essential, and within the church itself, biblical preaching should be a very large priority. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4 first of all, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly the one who has set the example for us. Matthew 4, verse 23. And we see that when the word is preached, and it's very clear that when the word is preached and believed on, that there are things that happen as a result of that. We see in Matthew 4, 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So we see the very important work that Jesus did, and that was going about teaching and preaching. The teaching and the preaching was a very large component of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people think of the miraculous healings and so on that was in his ministry, and certainly that is a very important manifestation. But what we have to really emphasize is that when the word is preached, that's what's going to cause things to change. When the word is not preached, then there'll be darkness. Then there will not be the opportunity for people to believe the truth of God. The Word of God must be preached. The gospel must be preached. That glorious gospel has to go out so that people can believe on that, be born again, and can go forward in God working in his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Let's also have a look at Matthew 24, verse 14. So we saw that Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, 14. So we go right now into the future in Matthew 24, 14. And this is what will happen. This is a prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And remember, he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what he says about this gospel, his gospel, the gospel that he was preaching. Okay? Notice what it says in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the very gospel he was preaching, the good news that God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour, and that man is to believe on him. Man is to come away from sin and to go forward into righteousness, into everlasting life. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Notice the word all nations there. Those words, all nations. And then shall the end come. A lot of people don't see that preaching is very, very important. The preaching of the word has to happen before the end comes. And it has to happen as a witness to all nations. So there is a word that Jesus has said would be preached, the gospel of the kingdom. And it says this gospel of the kingdom. So it can't be lost from the time of Jesus. It must be available today. And the word of God is available today. And it must be preached. Let's have a look at 1 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16. What we do know is that the wicked are not going to be the preachers. The wicked are not going to say, well, I'm going to grab a Bible and start preaching in the pub and so on. Wherever I can preach, I'll be doing that preaching. No. They don't see things in that way. They're not children of the light if they've never come to Christ. They're children of darkness. They're people who are in darkness at the moment and need the glorious gospel of Christ. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. That's what it says here. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we see here that there is the house of God. The house of God is something that exists. And God defines it. It says, which is the church of the living God. And he says something about that church of the living God. He says, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church of the living God is where you should be able to find the truth. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God's word is truth, the truth that's to be preached. As it says in verse 16, preached unto the Gentiles. So God's word must be preached. But it's not present outside of the church, it's present in the church, in the church of the living God. The pillar and ground of the truth. That talks about strength and foundation. Pillar, strength, ground, foundation. And we need to see that within the church there has been that preservation of God's word right through history. You know, we are in a time where modern versions are quite prolific. I don't have time to go into detail, but have a listen to the sermon on the Victory Faith Centre website, Modern Versions Attack Biblical Preaching. There's also a study up about that as well. They'll go into detail about the complete lack of the possibility that modern versions will be used in this future preaching to all nations. So we see here the Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's have a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're getting an understanding that the word would be working through the church. And it's worked through the church through preaching and teaching, through it being brought forth so that men and women and children can believe on it, can believe it and take it into their hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll start from verse 1 and we'll go to verse 10. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Okay, so now we're going to link that in a minute with Romans 1, which talks about what that power is. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. And when we think about in word only, it's like there's nothing to back it. No. We talk about the Word and the Spirit, so the Spirit of God is clearly backing the Word that is preached faithfully, but also in power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Ye know, as ye know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. How? Having received the Word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So you see the Word and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, working together there. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now notice ensamples, an internal example. To all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So people knew about the Thessalonians here. They knew about their work of faith, their labour of love, their patience of hope. Notice what it says in verse 8. For from you, so he's talking to the Thessalonians, the church there. He's saying, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So here we see that the word of the Lord is sounding out from the church here, sounding out from them. Sounding out. How is it sounding out? Well, obviously there'd be preaching and teaching. There'd be missionary type activities. There'll be activities where people would go into all the world and preach the gospel. We see the word is sounded out. You know, in our day, the word can be sounded out far and wide. We have many means. We have electronic means of the radio and TV and internet. So it's not just, oh, one person can go over to hear and preach, although that is important too. Or one person can teach over there. That's important. We're talking about global, though, because we saw in Matthew 24, it's got to be a witness to all nations. And we're living in a time when we can reach out to all nations. That possibility exists. So we see that there has to be a sounding out of the word of the Lord. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, not just in those places, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Spread abroad. So when you get serious about getting the word out, God will make sure that that word that's being sounded out will spread abroad so that we need not speak anything. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned from God, from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So those people were serious. They turned from idols, not just stone idols, but idols of the heart as well. So the Bible in the Old Testament talks about, yes, the stone and wooden type idols, the statue type idols, but also talks about the idols of the heart. And that's in the Old Testament. And so when the Bible talks about in the New Testament turn away from idols, it's the whole gamut of what idols cover. And those are things which can be placed in the way of God. You've got to turn to God from all of that. To serve, and this is a real key here, to serve the living and true God. So what are we doing on the earth? We are servants. We are serving. We are serving the living and true God in the church of the living God. You see what I'm saying here? So you may not be a person that gets up and preaches from a pulpit, but you can certainly be a part of the work of God through many different ways to do that. As I said, the sounding out of the word of God can go out in many ways. You can also be praying for the ministry of the word, praying for the ministers and praying for the church and praying for the word to be glorified and for the word to go out. So there's many ways we can join in the work of getting this word out as a witness to all nations. There's many ways we can do that. So don't think of yourself as, oh well, because I'm not up preaching the word from the pulpit, therefore I don't have a part in it. You do have a part in it. In fact, we're all called to serve God. And it's a matter of us getting before the Lord and seeking his will about what he wants us to do. It's very important for us to do that. Let's have a look at Acts 8. Acts 8, we'll start from verse 1. And what you'll see here is that the word of God was very prominent. If it was prominent in the early church, and remember, it was prominent in Jesus' ministry, it's prominent right at the end of time, or the end of this present evil world. It's prominent right to that time, right to the time when Jesus returns. Then it must be prominent, right? It should be prominent in the church, but right throughout the church history. And so the early church was very much word oriented. Acts chapter 8, starting from verse 1. It says, and Saul, who of course later became Paul, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen, the martyr. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. I want you to think about that. Church was under great pressure and persecution, and they were scattered, and they didn't just lock themselves up in little compartments and wait for the persecution to stop. They went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and there's that word again, preached Christ unto them. Now, if you preach Christ, what does that mean? You're going to present him as the solution to sin. You're going to present the gospel people need him as their saviour. They need to turn from their idols, turn from sin, to serve the living God. So it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, so reaching out to an entire city here, and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay, so clearly there were things that followed the preaching of the word as people believed. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So we see there's opposition always, isn't there? To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now, if the Bible says that people can be bewitched with sorceries, then people can be bewitched with sorceries, okay? If it was a reality back then, it's a reality back now. It was a reality right now. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. That is the solution to being free from bewitching, being free from being held in strongholds and lies and deceptions and idols and so on. What is it? The preaching, and people believe it. As it says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. So even the, almost like the arch enemy, we see also with Saul, his conversion, the same type of thing. So don't think that, oh, just because such and such a one is against us, or such and such a one is in the way, that the preaching can't have an effect. Okay? God will give people opportunities, even the ones you think might not turn to Christ. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So God can do a real turnaround in people's lives, but there has to be the preaching. There has to be the preaching. And it was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized. So they were water baptized at that time. And you don't water baptize non-Christians. So obviously they became Christians because they believed on Christ as their Saviour, and they were water baptized. Notice what it says in verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had what? Received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Peter and John, there was a particular ministry here, particular application of their ministry, and it says in verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And we see from this the evidence that you can be saved and not be filled with the Holy Ghost, not be speaking in tongues. Very clearly it says here. But notice the apostles saw that they needed that experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. They needed to receive the Holy Ghost. And You know, even though that there are people all across this earth who might be saved but not filled with the Holy Ghost, they still need that. The main thing I want to emphasize today is that there is the preaching of the word, there's the receiving of the word of God. How do they receive it? Well, they believe the preaching, because verse 14 said, the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. And verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip preaching, so they received it by believing what, and of course acting on what he had said. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Mark 16. Well, before we do, look at Romans 1. Romans 1. I said I was going to go there. Romans 1. Look at verses 15 to 17 of Romans 1. So the word working through the church. All right, so we see that Samaria had been bound by sorcery, however that was manifested. We saw that the word had to come before there could be light in a dark place. So when you see there's lots and lots of darkness, then you know that the word hasn't been preached as it should, or isn't present there. Because when the word is present, there's light. When preaching comes in, there's light that comes in. And it can change whole nations, as Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24. And of course, he's coming back, and there's going to be sheep nations and goat nations. Sheep nations are whole nations that have come to Christ. So verse 15 of Romans 1 says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. What is the power? The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. They've got to receive it, don't they? They've got to believe it. That's receiving it. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, that is in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So obviously we start out by faith. We have the measure of faith. We believe the gospel that comes to us. We receive it, believe it. And then we live a life of faith. That's what God wants. And we walk by faith, live by faith, stand by faith. And that's believing God, believing the word that's preached. And then, as we saw with the Thessalonians, that word is sounded out from us in whatever capacity the Lord wants us to work in with respect to the church. We know the church is compared to a body, and it's known as the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head. And you might be part of the arm, but you're different functions within the body. So not necessarily preaching from the pulpit, but in every sense of the word, you are part of the mission of the church, the great go into all the world and preach the gospel. So let's go to Mark 16, as I mentioned before. Mark 16. Now we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ gives a command in Mark 16. And we'll just look at verses 15 and 16, first of all, and then we'll look at verse 20. So verse 15, It's just Jesus speaking. He's giving a command. And it's not just to his disciples back then, but it's to the church. And that emphasis is also placed to the church in the end of Matthew 28. So notice what he says in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now it's quite interesting he uses the word ye in verse 15. So he's talking about the church as a whole here, all of us together in this mission. Go ye into all the world. And how we do that, particularly in a time where we have great means at our disposal to be able to go into all the world, how we do that now, there is ways that the Lord will bring about and can use us in as we're open to him. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. So that's important. You've got the Lord working with you. And that's specifically the Spirit of God, which we saw with the Thessalonians. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So the thing that we need to do is obey that commandment, which is to preach and to teach, to get the word out. So the word is sounding out. And of course you realise that at Victory Faith Centre we have made the word of God as a top priority, so it's glorified in our midst. So they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Okay, so it's not just the Lord preaching, is it? He's working with us. He's working with the church. The word working through the church as the Lord is working with us. And confirming the word. What's that word? The word that was preached, the word that's preached, with signs following. Amen. So the word has to be preached. The word is available, but it has to be preached, has to be taught, has to be brought out. This word can't be just laid aside and, oh, we're just going to have singing sessions at church. No, no. The church itself is a pillar and ground of the truth. And it has to be emphasised in the churches. It has to be brought out in the church. Have a look at Matthew 28. We're coming to the end of today's sermon. Matthew 28. And we'll look at verses 18 to 20. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the means. He hasn't just said, well, you know, there's lots of dangers on the earth, in the world. False prophets are out there and sorceries are out there and people worshipping idols are out there. You're going to have a tough time. You're going to have a tough time. And if we have that type of mentality, we're going to think, well, we could never get through. But you know, the Lord working with them is the key, isn't it? The Lord directing us. And so if we rest in the Lord, yes, we have to do something. We have to be people that do the works of God, because we've been created unto good works. But if the Lord is working with us, it's really that much easier. Jesus said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. So it doesn't have to be like, oh, it's like we're trying to go through a hedge of thorns to get things done. No, we rest in the Lord and we just do what we know to do in the Lord as He leads. And I've learned that that's the way we have to go. We can't be led by feelings or sight. We have to be led by the Spirit of God, in line with the Word of God, the Word of Spirit, and say, well, what does the Word say? What is the Spirit leading for us to do? So looking at Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then he uses the word teach again, or teaching. Verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So once again, Jesus is projecting to the end of the world. There's a prophecy here that he'd always be with us to the end of the world with the church, as the church is teaching all nations. Teaching them to observe all things. So that's got to come out of the Word of God. That teaching has to come out of the Word of God. So is teaching and preaching important in the eyes of Jesus? Yes. We just read in Mark 16 about the preaching. We've read here about the teaching. We saw in Matthew 4 that Jesus went about teaching and preaching. And we know that the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, must be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. So this is the big thing we need to do as a church and individually whilst we're on the earth, to serve the living God. As I said, and I'm emphasising this deliberately, you don't just say, well, I'm not a preacher that gets up in or I can't preach and get up. I haven't been given that ministry. You may not have been given that, and that's fine. But you have a part in the body of Christ. You have a part in the church to help the sounding out of the Word of God. Just like all the Thessalonians in that church, we're obviously all working together to get the gospel out, to get the word preached and out. And so let's seek the Lord and individually seek the Lord, and corporately as a church seek the Lord about what we are to do and what our role is in the preaching and teaching of God's word. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great commission that we've been given. We thank you, Lord, for the word, that precious word that you have placed in our hands. And Father, I pray that every one of us and your people, even across this city and nation, would grow in their understanding of what has to happen with respect to the church. That, Lord, there be a right across this land, there be a forsaking of carnality and carnal thinking and fanciful thinking, a forsaking of that, Lord, to thinking in the line of your word and in the line of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask this.